You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Fosma Moon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 587 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Stephen Seagraves, joined by the usual cast of characters, Mr. Seth Miller and Mr. Fosma Moon. Gentlemen.
Got it.
Good evening.
No follow-up from last week. I'm surprised.
What are we talking about?
I don't remember. I'm just surprised we didn't get any angry comments. I'm surprised I didn't say something that enraged some portion of the listenership.
I mean, we sort of crapped on Lucky Coins, but other than that.
That's true. We did crap on. And no, I don't think anyone was going to defend them. So there was an air show today in Mountain Home, Idaho, and there was an EA-18 Growler collision. So it's basically the non-fighter version of the F-18. It's electronic warfare, and there's two of them based out of Whidbey, and they had a collision. It sounds like all four pilots were able to eject, or all four crew were able to eject, and they're okay, but reporting is still fairly new. It looks like one of the planes got in the blind spot of the other one and didn't see when he pulled up, and so we'll see what they say.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wild to see the two intertwined.
I think that the pilots that were on the bottom that hit the plane on top of them, I think they actually did the smart thing and waited to eject, because I think they knew that they were like entangled in the other plane. It was a delay in the ejection.
Yeah.
It's not the first incident of, because they're out of Whidbey. It's not the first incident of the Whidbey EA-18s. There was a crash. I don't know if y'all remember. Killed both the pilot and the weapon system operator, or the weapon system officer. It was controlled in flight into terrain was the cause that they've just released the report. It was like low visibility, two women pilots. This happened back in 2024, and killed both of them. And then there's been a couple of incidents that they've had, before that with pilotage. So, it'll be interesting to see what they find out. Any comments?
Tragic.
Hope everybody's actually okay.
Yeah, I think so. That was the last report, so we'll see. Luckily, the way air shows are done these days, it's less likely to go into the crowd, which is good. Just because of the way they set them up. Allegiant is
now with Sun Country.
Now with Sun Country, they've closed their deal.
Yes. The buyout is done. The paperwork's all signed. They're still operating separately for now. We actually had this debate or conversation a little bit in one of our chats of, I've still never flown Sun Country.
Mm-hmm.
And
should you?
Well, A, should I? And B, the answer to that is for why. But if I still wanted to, would it count? And what counts as still flying Sun Country?
I think it still counts. I think you got to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, as long as the operating certificates are still separate, I think it counts.
So operating certificate is certainly like the legal definition in some ways. Would you, if they changed the configuration of the planes but kept the operating certificate, if they changed the product being sold but kept the operating certificate, would you still consider it?
Yeah, because I think it's by the flight number.
Yeah, okay. I think that's how I snuck in my Midwest Express at the very end, is I got them like after Frontier bought them or something like that.
I forgot that that was even an airline.
I didn't realize Frontier bought them.
I thought it was Frontier, right? Someone bought them out, and like I remember going through Milwaukee so I could fly them. But yeah.
So what do you need to do in Minneapolis?
Hang out with Nick? I don't know.
That's a good reason.
It's a good reason as any, but yeah, go find some friends. Honestly, though, looking at the fares this summer. Also, like, one-way fares from Minneapolis, between Minneapolis and Boston, are egregious, because it's either them or Delta.
Yep.
And Delta will happily charge $600 one way.
Wow.
Certainly on short notice, but even, like, I think that's, like, 21 days is where that kicks in. It was when I was looking this summer. It was bad.
That's pricey.
Does some country still operate out of the other terminal?
At Minneapolis?
Yeah.
Is there another terminal in Minneapolis?
Oh, yeah. There's like the Island of Misfit Toys over by the former Northwest, now Delta Hangar.
Yep.
Huh. I knew Detroit had that. I didn't realize Minneapolis did too. Maybe I remember. I mean, I used to commute to Minneapolis for work in 2000, 2001, so I should remember some of this stuff better. But
is it like over on the south side of the airfield, right? I think it's like Terminal 2 or something.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be called something else, like the
Humphrey?
Humphrey, yeah, Terminal.
Yeah, it's the Humphrey Terminal. Yeah, it's like on the south side of the airport. Yeah. The train stops there. I mean, you're good.
Well, it's easier for the train, and it's closer to the highway, too.
Yep.
Yeah, and I've got the looking 4 weeks out now, I can get it for $370 nonstop.
You should make it like a pit stop. I mean, Sun Country flies to Portland.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I got to fly. Also, like, Sun Country isn't that cheap either, but, you know, $200 or $300 so these days.
In 28-inch pitch?
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about Lufthansa Group, and they're pushing forward with their ITA, like, purchase, I guess. What's the story?
So they own 31 or 41% today. And this was one of those deals that was structured when they did it. They were going to have the right to buy more for more money. And it was sort of like how BA bought BMI, right? They sort of, there was an investment and it was a structured deal. And everybody was like, it was sort of, it had to happen pending certain metrics, but it sort of was going to happen no matter what. And it's going to happen no matter what. So they're going to get to 90% of the ownership stake. Expect to close it on that in early 2027, and reasonable price, only 325 million euro more. The release also had a couple interesting bits. They noted that integration into sort of all of the Lufthansa Group operations, including the app and loyalty and all that stuff, is basically done. But they were very aggressive at making all that stuff happen, which is almost certainly a good thing, because even as awkward as Lufthansa Group is these days, at least it's not Alitalia.
Yeah. Foz's face.
That was a very deep sigh, Foz. I don't know if it'll show up when we edit this, but that was a very deep sigh.
Oh, I was just trying to, I was trying to figure out how to loop this back into the Allegris conversation. Well, yeah. At least it's something fast.
Right. Can't get the seats, but we can buy another airline.
Who needs seats?
We fly them empty.
The other thing they noted is that they're still, the North Atlantic routes are still not integrated fully into pricing and everything, because regulatory, the Europeans wouldn't let them make that part of the JV. So it's still not part of the JV. So we've talked about that a little bit, because it sort of like seemed like it was, but I guess it's not still.
So do you think when they get the 90% ownership, it'll start being more integrated into the JV? Because at that point, it's basically an LH Group operation.
The regulators still, I think, are going to keep that pressure up to not let them do it, because they're worried about losing competition on the North Atlantic market, which says something that, I mean, obviously Lufthansa Group hopes that changes eventually, but also sort of says something about the value they see in the deal, in that they're willing to do all this other stuff anyways for all the other markets, assuming that they can get value from it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Delta, right, had something when they had Alitalia there, and they were just competing with United basically across the ocean, maybe a little bit of American, but now it's Delta has nobody. It's just Delta flights, American flights, and whatever Lufthansa, United, and ITA can put up.
So yeah.
It's kind of just swayed the balance, I guess, a little bit. So
yeah.
Boeing, big order from China, big, huge.
But was it big enough?
I don't know. I mean, it's 200 planes, right?
Yeah. This is like the sort of ongoing debate about this that we've seen in this reporting so far, is like 200 planes. It's a big deal. I didn't look at what the breakdown was. I assume it's a mix of narrow bodies and wide bodies, but like for a major trade mission deal trip, is it really that much? And I think probably not.
And it's spread across a bunch of Chinese carriers, right? Like, it's
usually they spread them across their big three that are all state owned. So Air China, China Southern, and China Eastern.
Yep. I mean, I think it's kind of small, and this involves some maxes. What China was hesitant, right? Like, refresh everybody's memory. China was hesitant to take the max. after all of the debacle of Boeing.
Yeah.
The crashes. Do you think this just opens that door, or are they, do you think they'll wait and see results, the Chinese carriers?
I mean, they, so sorry, it's up to 750 planes potentially, but that's, you know, who the hell knows? Cause that's Trump talking, not actual contracts. Right. That's the other problem, is like none of this has real contracts shared yet.
Gotcha.
And so figuring out what it actually is can be challenging. But China is also really trying to get to the COMAC stuff, right? They want COMAC to be the aircraft of choice. The homegrown, of course you do.
And aren't they building another? They're building another type too, right? Like they're, it's not just the COMAC 919. It's something else that they're developing.
They've got the 929. They've got a wide body also.
Yeah.
Basically, so they're, you know,
that's what they want everybody to use going at some point.
Right. And right there, part of the problem is delivery challenges, let's say. And it was getting enough of them. You know, they were supposed to be 150 this year, and then they revised, or last year, and they revised it down to 75, and they still only got to like 30 or 50 or something like that. And don't hold me to those numbers, but the proportions are roughly accurate. So there are challenges in terms of getting everything right. And some of it was attributed to US-China trade war bits, where from time to time, the US would be like, actually, we're not giving you any components this week. Sorry. Mm. And a lot of, and some of the components are still US made. And unlike, or they haven't gone full bore trying to make everything Chinese the way the Russians have had to go. It hasn't worked very well for the Russians. So, although I think they finally got one of those planes in the air the other day, fully Russified. But, you know, it's hard. There's a lot of Western components that go into these. So,
yeah.
But yeah, they China would much rather have COMAC be the supplier, both locally and regionally. Someone was saying they thought the AirAsia deal could have been a COMAC deal for 919. And so I was like, no, they actually, A, they want them delivered, and B, I think there's also some regulatory challenges still in terms of where they can fly. Right.
Oh yeah. Like they haven't been approved by local authorities.
And so right now I want to say it's like China, Mongolia, and Vietnam are where they've been based. And I don't know what other countries they may be also flown to, but it's limited range for those.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I think, you know, it opens the door for more MAX to go to China, which I think is good for the MAX line. I mean, I think that's already strained, so we'll see how quickly Boeing can actually deliver any of this. So,
listen, they can produce more now, right? That's gonna be great.
Qatar to Caracas via Bogota.
So this was announced a while ago and was actually supposed to fly like a year ago and still isn't. Arsh is, well, is coming soon, I guess. It's starting very soon. And I don't know exactly what the problems were, but this one's coming back. Qatar is finally slowly bringing its network back. We talked about this, I think, a little bit last week with a couple other routes, but this is one where they're, it's going to be a triangle to go to Bogota, then Caracas, and then back to Doha. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Between, you know, American United and now this, I guess, you know, international travel's back. Copa, I think, restored service too.
To Caracas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not, actually. There was a whole diplomatic thing with that one, so maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Are you guys going to book something out of Caracas anytime soon?
No.
No.
I'll pass for now.
I don't know, Faz. You seem like you're set on the Middle East, so why not throw in the South America while you're at it?
Because they have to get down there. Positioning is always a pain.
And then they're going to bring back Haneda and Helsinki. Is that you?
I think we talked about that last week. But yeah,
okay, yeah. And then American is starting up some fun lines for the NFL. What do they have going on now?
I mean, sort of the basic game day type matches. Actually, I only see the 919 flying domestic again. I don't see any international.
Didn't something with Vietnam happen?
So they had a, like, Vietjet or someone had a wet lease of them, and then those got returned. But I thought there was a Mongolian airline that had them, but those aren't filed, at least for June.
Okay.
Or July. So, interesting. But a lot of routes within China. The American routes are interesting. It's, you know, pick a game day. There's probably an interesting route involved. Some of them better than others, like flights to Appleton for the Green Bay games is nice. Or DFW to Green Bay, in fact, not even Appleton. One of the things I thought was interesting is Buffalo at Las Vegas the weekend of October 16, 17, 18, 19. That one, they're flying, most of them are 2 day or 1 day, like Detroit at Buffalo, go out the 17th of September, come back the 18th. A bunch are, you know, fly out September 26th from Nashville to LaGuardia, return on the 28th, and that's just extra seats. That route always operates. But then the Buffalo one is actually a 3 day weekend. They're trying to get people to stay longer, which it's at Vegas, so I get it.
Yeah. I mean it's
I go to Vegas, but I get it.
It's interesting, like, to me that they're like, oh, DFW to Green Bay is going to operate for that weekend, but then they're going to also have additional seats to Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yeah. I expect a whole lot of people to go.
I guess. Yeah. A lot of people fly to see football. I don't know.
Yeah. In Buffalo at Miami is actually a 5 day weekend. Leaves December 31st, comes home January 4th.
See,
New Year's in Miami, baby.
Yeah.
New Year's on South Beach.
Sounds awful.
Agree?
Just a little bit.
but that same weekend, Houston to Green Bay, January 4th and 5th, right? Like,
yeah.
American Airlines is going to fly out of Houston.
Yep.
To Green Bay, non-hub route. So they got a bunch of those. Boston to Kansas City in late December. I can finally get that line.
And then they're going to do some of the special flights, right? For the international stuff. So Rio, they're going to add some extra frequencies.
Yeah. DFW to Rio, and then back. They'll add an extra frequency on that one. What else we got on this list here? Yeah, the others, they basically just talk about we have lots of flights in the other markets.
Yeah. Yep.
Or our partners do. That's even better.
Yeah, looking at that press release, it was slightly misleading. Oh, we'll fly to Melbourne. Oh, no, it's really Qantas.
Yeah. 6 days a week.
Oh, man. Speaking of Australia, or I guess 787s more importantly, the United Flight 28 has been like plagued with problems for like the past 5 days. It's left like 3 hours plus late every day, including what today it like returned back to the gate and then just sat there. Didn't hook up to the gate, didn't do anything, just sat there for like 4 hours.
This is San Francisco, Melbourne.
This is Singapore, San Francisco.
The night
departure.
Is it the Hi-J config?
No, it's not the new plane. I thought that's what it was, but it's not the new plane.
I mean, the fact that one got a terrible delay the first day was pretty amusing, but
yes. Let's talk about San Antonio, Southwest. A friend of ours let us know that they've come to an agreement, a settlement.
Yeah, this goes back to the new terminal construction. Basically, Southwest wants to be in the new terminal, not the old terminal. Like, we're your biggest airline. We handle a third of your traffic. You should treat us better. And originally, when the gate assignments came out, Southwest was told, you'll get all of Terminal A, the old terminal, and you can do whatever you want with it, and we'll help you retrofit it, you know, after all the other work is done. But we're putting our other airlines in terminals B and C, the new ones, United, Delta, American are getting those because basically, and the lawsuit argued they got it because they're building lounges. And American and United are definitely confirmed for lounges according to the settlement. But there was a lawsuit. They lost the lawsuit. They filed an FAA complaint, or DOT complaint that was still pending. And eventually they settled. There was also argument over how much they were supposed to pay because they weren't signed on to the contracts. They were getting charged the non-contract rates, but we're going to sign it eventually. You should charge us the lower rate. There's a lot of BS, to say the least, but in the end, Southwest is going to get 3 gates in Terminal B and 3 gates in Terminal C. So a split operation, but it's at least all in new space. What I don't entirely understand, having now seen this, is like Delta gets 3 gates or 4 gates. United gets a few of the new 18. America, like everybody gets 3 or 4 gates in the new space now. Southwest gets 6. It's not clear to me where the rest of the plane, the rest of the airlines are going, or what what's going to be an A, I guess.
The old like, gates.
The old gates. Like, yes, it could be the Misfits, but like.
It's Alaska, who? Probably. Probably Alaska.
For their 2 daily flights? Like, that's a very. Right? Like, they don't need a gate.
Who else flies this San Antonio other than the 4? Frontier, maybe?
Could be.
San Antonio getting some international flights, or was that just rumor?
They had Condor at one point.
And Condor gave up. Allegiant flies there. So Sun Country Allegiant.
This is way too much information. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there is stuff that's neat, stuff that'll happen, but American, Aeromexico has some flights, Delta, Frontier, Sun Country, we'll see how long that lasts, Air Canada.
Viva Aerobus.
Yeah. Volaris.
Yeah.
The international stuff, if I remember correctly, they are building a new FIS immigration facility in the new space, so that's part of that. And the city is keeping like 3 or 4 of those gates for common use.
And Breeze flies there too.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Chicago, Los Angeles, DFW, Miami, Phoenix, seasonally. Oh no, sorry, that's not them. Memphis, Raleigh. Didn't think
and
that.
Pensacola.
And Pensacola. Yeah,
that's a fun collection of lines.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think it's those. It's Breeze. It's Frontier. It's Aeromexico, maybe.
You can put Air Canada over there because it's all pre-clearance.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, the only annoying thing about that, other than being in the crappy terminal, is that if you want to use a lounge, you got to go all the way to United in the other terminal. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that Southwest got their way. Like they pushed their weight enough.
Yeah.
To get their way. Having a split operation, I'm sure, is not what they wanted, though.
I would assume not.
So they probably wanted to push somebody else out.
Although they were kind of destined to have something of a split operation because they want to do international service.
I got you. Yep. Makes sense.
I forget, I don't know if it's just Cancun, but I think they have some already. Yeah. They currently have a daily to Cancun.
And that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
So
does Sun Country?
Yes. They do a seasonal to Cancun. Spring break, baby.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, it's in July too.
Oh, is it in July?
Yeah, wow. Not daily, but most days.
Wow. Lastly, there's you guys are just getting press everywhere because this is in Food and Wine magazine. There's an article about United's $35 million makeover of or investment in their beverage program. So they talked to Doug Frost. He was a master sommelier. It's interesting because United's pouring $150 bottles of wine or more in their international business class cabins now regularly. And my question for you guys is, does that matter? And are you picking based on that? That's question one. And two, does this signal just an overall investment in food for United to you? Like just in general for the international flights? Or is it kind of empty?
I think it's empty. Buying an expensive wine is far easier than up-leveling your food.
Fair. Does the more expensive wine matter to you, though, Foz?
No. At the end of the day, it's still United.
for the guy with Lifetime Global Services.
Wow. At the end of the day, it is still regret in that statement.
Airlines are like cell phone companies. It'll be a dysfunctional relationship no matter what you do. You just find one that works best for you.
Fair.
I like that analogy. Yeah, I certainly don't pick an airline based on the wine it serves. I also maintain the opinion that most people actually have no idea what, you know, well, this one must be good because it's expensive, so I'm going to tell myself it's good, even if I don't like it. Or do I like it that much more than anything else? Like, it's fun to taste fancy, expensive wines, but, and I have some family that's very into wines, and I get the opportunity to do that every now and then, but, like, I can often tell the difference between an $8 bottle and an $18 bottle, but between that and an $80 bottle, sometimes a little harder.
Yeah.
So, it's an interesting article. I will say one of the things reading between the lines is there's very much a list price and a wholesale price, and United's not paying those prices.
Yeah. They've got a discount because they're buying these by the hundreds of cases.
Yeah. I mean, they're buying them by, like, the vineyard. there was one that I'm trying to remember now that was a big deal when JetBlue put it on its planes. Tully, something like that. It was a really nice red wine. They basically bought the entire production.
Wow.
Because it was such a small vineyard. And they had, it was a production of that bottle and or that grape or whatever. And the vineyard had plenty of other stuff. But yeah, it was actually really good. Well, it was like a $35, or maybe more than that. But
what's interesting is, like, the article quotes a broader $150 million food and beverage overall.
Right.
Including most of that investment going into the international business class cabin. I don't know, Foz, I haven't been on United since last year internationally. Have you been on them at all this year?
Yeah. Internationally? I have a few times.
Have you noticed any changes?
No.
I mean, remember when Polaris was introduced, there was a wine tasting.
I do remember that.
Cart, right? Or like the extra whatever, with like you get four glasses of wine sipped.
Yes.
That whole thing, right? So I get it. The other thing is, and, you know, sort of circling back to that idea of the United's not paying list price because it's also good for the vineyards. The vineyards see this as marketing.
Yeah.
And so they are excited to have those conversations and have their product on board because they see it as marketing to people who can afford business class tickets, who might then go buy at closer to list price.
Yep.
Or in some cases, you can't even get the bottles at list price. You have to sign up for the wine of the month club or the case club or whatever at the, you know, these smaller vineyards. So there's, yeah, I understand the marketing and the whatever, and certainly stories like this are good for both sides in that scenario. But yeah, the people who are like, oh, I only fly, you know, United flies this champagne and Emirates flies that one, and that makes a difference. Like, I don't believe you.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like people, oh, go ahead, Foss, sorry.
I was just going to say, one of the things I have noticed on United is the meals have gotten smaller.
Hmm. With no increase in quality?
Of course not. Of course not. And so it's interesting. So we'll see. Like, what is this investment really?
Yeah. The food's terrible and there's not enough of it. It's airplane food. I was talking, a friend of mine at the gym was like, have you ever flown like in like the big seats up front? Like going on about like, she's like, her boyfriend flies up front. He's like sending me pictures of the menus. He's like, there's like full meals up there. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's better than what's in the back. Like they pour wine out of real bottles. That's true.
Yeah. You're not drinking canned wine,
which the article also talks about canned wine and economy and some of the good stuff that they're doing there.
Yeah.
But it's, I will say, I think the three of us and probably many relatives, a little jaded because we have flown enough premium cabins. We're like, okay, it's fine. It's good. It's nice. Like, listen, I don't want to make it sound like it sucks, but it's also, if you do it a lot, it can be.
I'll tell you where I told Foz this story. My kiddo is in preschool and went to class and the teacher had set up an airplane in the classroom with joysticks and everything. And my kiddo doesn't fly with me a lot, but he hears me talk about airplanes. He goes to the teacher and there's like seats for the passengers. And he goes, are these the lie flat seats? And the teacher looks at my wife and just makes the face like, what is he talking? Like, what are you talking about? And he goes, these seats aren't lie flat. So yeah. I know we're jaded and we should be thankful for what we have.
But are we jaded, right? Like I recently ran across some old menus from the late 90s, early 2000s from Continental's Transcon service. It was more expensive than International J at this point.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Like it was 8 to 10 page menu.
I mean, I do remember the menus being longer.
Now you're looking
for more stuff in them or just like more description? And they've printed a few.
It was more description. There was more stuff. They captured all the beverage offerings in the menu.
Yeah. Fair. I will say, I mean, I remember a couple of years ago talking to someone from United about the lack of menus, and they're like, this was still, and I guess it was 2022, so it was like late-ish, COVID-ish. And she was like, yeah, we don't print menus because we're never quite sure what the suppliers are going to be able to get food-wise. And so, like, we can vaguely guarantee what the proteins are going to be, but we can't print what we don't know that we'll have. Like, it'll be this specific chicken, but there'll be a chicken because we might not get whatever vegetables it's supposed to be, or the potatoes might not be right or whatever. And so they weren't printing menus because they didn't want to have the wrong thing printed. So, I mean, beverages, you'd think they get sorted. The wines, you'd think they'd want to highlight the fancy wines, but also, like, some of them are short run presentation. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's always funny. I mean, there's times like where you ask the flight attendant, "Well, what's the red?" She's like, "I don't know. It's a red."
My favorite is when the flight attendant comes by and says, "Oh, we don't have menus on this flight, but the menu for the inbound is still in the seat back."
They just didn't package any, or they didn't feel like getting them out of the overhead wherever they were stored.
Who knows?
Yeah. All right, for our Patreon supporters, we're going to talk about WestJet. A little bit. We are going to talk about revised staffing numbers for the FAA, United and JetBlue reciprocity, some new Japan routes, JetBlue cutting Seth's favorite airport, Air India cuts, and some news from Flight Global about global airlines, and then a new Australian ultra low-cost carrier that's planned, and some domestic A321s for Delta. Stick around for that. We have some new patrons, Chris K, Richard H, Conrad S, and Will. Thank you for supporting the show. We appreciate it. And if you're not a patron supporter, we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. Happy travels.
Take care.
See you later.